The scripture reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 4. It says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them."
Well, good morning. I hope everyone's excited about next week. I just want to add an extra encouragement along with Chris that I hope you'll be able to come next week as we celebrate Easter outside. Those of you watching online, I hope some of y'all will join us as well. I think it's going to be a great time to be together and to worship. Sometimes we need to pause and take a moment and just reflect. So this past Sunday, I concluded the series of lessons I've been doing on the book of Numbers with this great display up here that was done by Joan Smith. We've walked from Mount Sinai through the wilderness, and we ended over here at the plains of Moab. And the book of Numbers ended with life on the ridgeline. We talked about that last week, about how they weren't done with the journey. They weren't in the land of Canaan, but they were at a place where they could kind of look back and see where they've come from, and they could look forward to where they were going. Well, when you turn the page from the book of Numbers to the book of Deuteronomy, what we might expect would happen is that Moses would say, "Okay, let's go on into Canaan." But he doesn't. The first three chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses says, "Let's stop. Let's pause. Let's take a time out, and let's reflect on the journey that we've been on." Maybe one of the reasons why Moses does this is because he realizes that the journey that they've been on through the wilderness has been a traumatic one. For 40 years, they've gone through the wilderness, and it's been hard, it's been difficult, there have been struggles along the way, and so he understands that before the people move forward, they need to take some time to process through their past. I've been teaching a class on Wednesday night on Zoom from the book called The Making of a Leader by Robert Clinton. And one thing that he talks about in that book is that the way God forms leaders is by us processing key events and experiences in our life. Because when we take time to process and reflect, that's when God deepens our character, and that's when God grows us and forms us spiritually. And it's almost as if Moses realizes Israel needs to do that. And so before we move forward, let's process, he says. Let's process what we've been through, because what we've been through has been a big deal. And I kind of feel like the same thing needs to happen for all of us, that it's been a little bit over a year since the pandemic journey started, since it hit and things got shut down, and we've been on this journey together, journey through the wilderness. And it's been hard, and it's been difficult, and it's been traumatic for many of us. Our lives have been altered probably forever because of this pandemic journey that we've been on. And it appears that not too far in the future, we're going to be able to put this pandemic behind us as more people get vaccinated and that kind of thing. But we're not quite there yet. And I think before we move forward into the future, we might need to take a moment and pause and process what we've been through. And that's what I want us to do this morning. In Numbers chapter 33, Moses gives a travel log where he lists all these different places where they were on the journey. And it's fascinating. I mean, he writes about 42 names of different places where they went on their journey, and it's as if Moses wants them to remember. I don't want you to forget where we've been. I don't want you to forget the places and the experiences and the moments that we've had. I want you to remember them, and I want you to reflect on them, and I want you to process through them. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to remember some names. We're going to remember some places. We're going to remember some experiences that we've had over the past year as a church family, and we're going to try to process them a little bit together. Well, the first memory that Moses brings up in Deuteronomy chapters 1 through 3 as he's reflecting back over their journey, that first memory is a painful one. The first memory that he brings up is about the first time that they got close to the land of Canaan, and the people wanted to send in 12 spies into the land to check out the land, and so they do. And the spies come back and they say, it's a really good land, but there's a lot of people there, and they're like giants, and we're like grasshoppers. And so the people get scared, they get fearful, and they say, we don't want to go into that land. We want to go back to Egypt. And they say, let's get another leader and let's go back to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, they fall on their knees, like, no, don't do this. Don't do this. The Lord's with us. We can go into the land. But the people say no, and they rebel against God. And God tells them, because of your rebellion, you're going to have to go back into the wilderness. And the first generation is going to die in the wilderness. That was a very painful memory for Israel. And I find it fascinating that Moses, in Deuteronomy chapters 1 through 3, he doesn't sweep it under the rug. He doesn't act like it never happened. He doesn't say, well, let's not talk about that. That was a really bad thing. We don't want to talk about that anymore. No, he says, let's talk about it. Let's remember it. And it was painful. And it was hard, but let's remember it. And I think the reason why Moses does that is because he knows and he understands that it's when we're able to remember our grief, when we're able to remember our loss, when we're able to remember our pain, not only do we learn lessons from that, but we find healing from that. Also, in Numbers chapter 33, in that travelogue, that long list of places where they went on their journey, some of those places were places of pain. Some of those places were places where punishment happened, where God punished his people. For example, in that travelogue, he mentions Kibroth Hattaava. That was the place where the people grumbled about not having any meat to eat. And so God says, I'm going to give you enough quail until it comes out your noses. And God punished the people for their rebellion. And that name is listed on the travelogue. Why would Moses put that name? We want to forget about that place. Moses says, no, we need to remember it. Yes, it was a place of punishment and a place of pain, but we need to remember what we've been through. And I think we need to do the same thing. That as we think back over the past year of the journey that we've been on through the wilderness, there have been some experiences of pain. There have been some moments where we've grieved, where we've lost people, where we've lost things. As you think back over the journey over the past year, I just want you to think about some of the things that you've lost. There were certain events that were canceled that we were all looking forward to being a part of. Some of us haven't been able to celebrate birthdays like we had planned, or maybe there were trips that you had planned to go on as a family that you had to cancel. I was talking to one person, and they said, it just feels like that this past year, we've lost a year of our lives. Unable to be with grandkids, unable to be with family, unable to do life like we normally have done it. We've lost a year of our lives. And then for some of us, we have lost loved ones because of sickness, maybe because of isolation, maybe because of other reasons. We've experienced grief. We've experienced it within our church family. And it's been painful not only to lose them, but to not be able to truly grieve over losing them like we normally would, grieving together. And so I want us just to take a moment, and I want us to remember those that we've lost. And I want us to just try to grieve and lament together. And maybe you're going to know some of these people. Maybe you don't know some people, but probably all of us know someone that we've lost along the way over the past year, and we just want to grieve and lament together. And so like Moses in Numbers 33, I'm going to share some names with us, names of people that as a church we've lost, and then John Scott is going to come after that, and he's going to lead us in a prayer of lament. And so this morning, we are grieving the loss of Betty Lindsay, of Judy Beard, of Dexter Johnson, of Lillian Henderson, of Fred Calley, of Timothea Kennedy, and Robert Graves. we grieve the loss of Marianne Castillo and Carol Taylor, and Joe Turner, and Jim Brooks, Troy Lang, Cody Pace, Luann Webb, and Jake McLeod, Kent Hatcher, Martha Beggs, and most recently, Joe Bullock. We grieve their loss. We hurt that they're not here with us. And we lament to God over our pain.
Oh Lord, our hearts ache, our hearts break as we see these beloved faces and hear their names. Betty, Judy, Dexter, Lillian, Fred, Timmy, Robert, Marianne, Carol, Joe, Jim, Troy. Little Cody. Luann, Jake, and Kent, and Martha, and Joe. Treasured friends, each of them loved, valued, precious to us, their loss too enormous to put into words. Our spirits groan. We cry out to thee. This past year, we did not get to commemorate them as we should have. Their lives were not celebrated, their faith lauded as it should have been. Comfort not given as we would have liked. But they counted, they mattered, every single one, loved by a grieving, broken family, mourned by their Southside church family. The empty chair, the empty pew torture us. Their lives leave behind a grand canyon of pain and emptiness. We sorrow. We don't understand why. The final enemy is the final mystery as well. We don't even expect to understand. Oh Lord, please help us. Help us, please. Help us to live by faith. We want to stand on rock, not on shifting sand. We're bowed low in grief. The dark valley of the shadow encompasses us. But, O Lord, please hear us and make yourself known as we trudge the dark valley. In the name of the resurrection and the life, we do offer this prayer. Amen.
Thank you, John. Well, after Moses reminds Israel of that painful memory, he then, in Deuteronomy chapters 1 through 3, begins to remind them of some hopeful memories. He reminds them that on the journey, while it has been hard and difficult through the wilderness, there have been times where God has been with them and has helped them. He begins to remind them about times where they've been obedient to the Lord's command. He reminds them about occasions where God has given them victory, where they had to fight the Amorite kings, and they were able to win by the power of God. He reminds them about a time where they came up against the Edomites, and they were to be peaceful, and they were peaceful, and things went well. He reminds them about different ways in which God has helped them along the journey to bring them to where they are. And I think the reason why Moses does that is because he's wanting them to see that even though the journey has been difficult, God has been faithful in the journey, and that they haven't been alone on the journey. And he wanted them to know that because someday they're going to be in the land of Canaan, and he wanted them to remember in the future that when struggles came, that they could look back and remember that, remember in the wilderness? It was hard in the wilderness, but God brought us through that. And if he brought us through it in the past, he'll do it in the future as well. Also in Numbers 33, in that travel log, some of those names are places of pain, but some of those names are places of victory. That he reminds them about coming out of Egypt by the power of God. He lists the Red Sea where God parted the waters. He lists different places where God gave them water when they were thirsty and manna when they were hungry. He wants them to remember the places where God sustained them during the difficult moments. And I think just like Moses did that with Israel, we need to do that as well. That over the past year, while it has been a difficult year with the pandemic, we also want to acknowledge that God has sustained us through this past year. God has given us moments of victory, moments that we can find hope in. I think back over this year, and I think one of the things that we've been forced to do as a church is to try to be the church instead of simply go to church. And I've seen that happen among so many of you as you've reached out to one another, as you've texted, as you've written cards, as you called, as we've gotten on Zoom with one another. We've found ways to try to stay connected, to hold one another together through this past year. And then so many of you have stepped up, and you have given and you've served. Some of you have given very generously to the work of the church. Some of you have kept serving, passing out food, passing out water. We've done acts of healing for our neighborhood. We've done many different things to just try to be of service, loving, and showing mercy to our neighbors. And those are victories. Those are small victories that we can celebrate of how God has been with us. But not only that, but God has added people to our church over the past year. I like to call them our pandemic partners that God has brought to us here at Southside over the past year. And also, there have been people over the past year who have made the decision to be baptized into Christ. And we want to celebrate that. We want to be thankful for those that God has added to us over the past year. And so, again, I'm going to read some names of people that have come to our church over the past year or so, people who have been baptized into Christ over the past year or so, and then John will come and lead us in another prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving. And so we remember and are thankful this morning that God has brought to us over the past year Nola Branch and Janice Kazarian and Alex and Vicky Martinez and Brenda Mertz and Barbara and Stephanie and Annabella Wood, who are here this morning. We're thankful that the Lord has brought to us Jim and Susan Thompson, and Kent and Jill and Maddie Benford, and Lance and Brittany and Calvin Sanchez. We're thankful that God has brought to us Dakota Inslee, who's here this morning, and Tom Harris, who's also here, and Jackie Romo and Trey Temple, who are here. We're thankful that the Lord has added to his church Jordan Carter, TCU student. We're thankful for Angela Rodriguez being baptized. We're thankful for Sadia Rideau and her daughter who was baptized, Trinity McElroy. We're thankful for Joshua Clower being baptized last summer, and then Owen Brewington as well. And for Thomas and Gladys Bernard and their baptism. And And then Kendall Bedecheck. And Riley Jackson. You know, what's interesting about this list of those that the Lord has added is that if you look at the number on this list and the number of those that we've lost, it's about the same. And it kind of reminds me of the book of Numbers, where there were two censuses, and they were all different names, but the number was about the same. That the Lord, even on this hard journey, has sustained us by bringing us new people. Let's give thanks at this time.
Oh Lord above, we rise up in faith and in thanksgiving. We smile, our hearts smile, as we see these new faces of pandemic partners, as we see those who have been immersed in the shallow grave of water baptism, raised up now to walk in newness of life. We celebrate that. We're so thankful. We rise up in faith. We sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. Our hope soars, our hope anchors, our hope gives us equilibrium and keeps us trudging onward when the valley of death seems frightening and lonesome. Lord, we journey on, broken at times, and yet we journey on. Our faith in your promises is resolute and robust. Your rainbow fills our sky. Your promises burn brightly. The north stars that point us homeward. The promises of heaven, the promises of reunion. Lord, we rise up in thanksgiving. We rise up in faith. Declare our faith in the one who conquered the final enemy, the one who has flung wide the door to our eternal home with these 18 and with those whose family and friends have gone before us. Lord, these have taken up their lamps and departed into the chambers of worship and joy. We stay a little longer. We rise up in faith, O Lord. We rise up with thanksgiving and faith. We rise up with tear-streaked faces. We rise up with a smile, and we worship Thee. Amen.
Thank you, John. And so as we remember the journey that we've been on, if you're like me, I have a lot of emotions. I have some emotions of sadness, as we talked about. I have some emotions of joy. I've had a lot of anxious moments. I've had moments of courage. And some days, those emotions can swing back and forth on a pendulum kind of thing. But I think probably most of us, as we think back over the journey that we've been on through the wilderness, we probably have mostly negative feelings, negative emotions about those we've lost and how difficult it has been. And so you might think, well, what do I do with those emotions? What do I do with those feelings? Where do I take them? Where do I bring them? Have all these emotions bottled up inside. How do I get them out? How do I find healing? And here's where I think the last week of Jesus can be really helpful for us this morning. I was reading an article recently by N.T. Wright about broken signposts. And he argues in the article that there are these signposts within our world that point to a greater reality, point to a creator. He mentions, for example, justice and love and beauty and truth. And he says these things are just innate within us. We all have desires for these things, and they point to a creator. We all want justice. We all long for love. We all are awed by beauty, and we all pursue truth. And why do we have these longings? Well, it could be because there's a creator who has placed them inside of us. But the problem with these signposts is that they're all broken. We want justice, but often we don't get it. We long for love, but sometimes it doesn't work out. We are awed by beauty, but sometimes beauty can be defaced or marred. We pursue truth, but sometimes all we hear are lies from people. And so what do we do about all these broken signposts that we see in our world? And Wright went on to say that these broken signposts, they all converge at the cross. Because at the cross, there was not justice that was done. There was injustice that happened. And at the cross, it was the place where love was rejected. And the cross was not a beautiful thing. It was an ugly and shameful thing as someone was crucified. And the cross was a disregard for truth. Pilate said, "What is truth?" These broken signposts, they all converge at the cross. And in this place of darkness and evil and brokenness and lamentation, where do we find God? He's right there. The Son of God, dying for the sins of the world. And Wright would go on to say that as we think back over the pandemic journey that we've been on, and we feel the grief, and we feel the sorrow, and we feel the frustration, and we feel the lament and all that we've said, where does that lead us? It should lead us to the cross. Because at the cross, there is brokenness, and there is darkness. And when we come to the cross, what do we find? We find that the Lord is right there. That He is in the midst of our pain. That He loves us and He's with us. That the story of the gospel is not about a God who wanted to escape our pain. The story of the gospel is about a God who came to dwell in the midst of our pain. And we find that at the cross, where Jesus took our sin and where He took our griefs and sorrows upon Himself. And so we go to the cross to find the Lord. There might be some of you who have asked the question, you know, why has all this been happening to us? Like, why have we been, have we gone through this COVID struggle? And why have people died? And whose fault is it? Is it my fault? Is it your fault? Is it our government's fault? Is it whose fault? Why are we going through all this? Whose fault is this? Why is this happening? Well, there were some people who asked Jesus those same questions. John chapter 9, Jesus and His disciples are walking by a blind man who is blind from birth. And the disciples ask Jesus, whose fault is this man blind? Why is this man blind? Is it his fault? Is it his parents' fault? Whose fault is it? Why is this happening? Remember what Jesus said? He said, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his parents' fault. This is done so that the work of God may be shown through his life. Jesus was saying, those are the wrong questions to be asking. Instead, what we need to be focused on is how the glory of God can be manifested through this situation. And that's what happened at the cross. In this place of darkness and evil and struggle, what happened? What happened was that the cross became the most glorious moment in all of history as Christ died for us. And as we look back to our journey, the journey that's been hard and difficult, the journey through the wilderness, where do we go? How do we make sense of it? We go to the cross. Because at the cross we learn that Christ loves us and Christ is with us in our pain. And that somehow and in some way, Christ can maybe transform our pain to where it brings glory to Almighty God. Let's pray. Lord God, we we reflect along with Moses on the journey that we've been. And we offer up this journey to you. We acknowledge our pain and our sorrow. And we celebrate and are thankful for the victories. And we ask, Lord, as we move forward, that you would help us to go to the cross. And that we'd be reminded that you are there in the midst of our pain. You are there in the midst of our brokenness. You are there in the midst of the darkness. That you love us and you are with us. And Lord, we ask that somehow and in some way you would take our pain and you would transform it and you would allow it in some way to bring glory to you throughout the world. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. At this time, we're going to have an invitation, and there's going to be ministers and elders up here at the front. If you need encouragement, if you need prayer, if you need someone to just lament with you, or if you need someone to celebrate with you, we're here for you. If you want to be baptized into Christ, we'd love to make arrangements with you about that. Just come now, as together we stand and sing, and we'll help you. Let's sing.